The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Mark. Glory be to thee, O Lord. As Jesus came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings." Then Jesus asked him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." When he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will this be? And what will be the sign that all these things are about to be accomplished?" Then Jesus began to say to them, "Beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. This is but the beginning of the birth pangs." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise be to thee, O Christ. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Just a few months after Matthew and I arrived in Texas in August of 2013, we took a road trip to Dallas to visit a friend that lives in that area. It was our first adventure up the 35 from Austin to Dallas amidst miles of construction and all the new sights of the Texas landscape in between. Somewhere along the way, before we got to Waco, I think, there was a large billboard that caught my eye. This billboard had a large date on it. It was the date predicted that the world would end. Judgment Day. I was a bit dumbfounded. Now, I knew there were people who scoured the Bible for any details, no matter how minute, that might give clues to when the end is coming. These predictions can easily be found on the internet. Just Google it. But a date on a billboard along the highway? We saw that billboard a few times over the next 2 years, and the date of the world's end got extended twice. I guess predicting the end of the world is not an exact science, or a biblical one either. I've been thinking about that question that Peter, James, John, and Andrew posed to Jesus, about when all the great buildings and their immensely large stones in and around the temple in Jerusalem would be thrown down. It is interesting that after being with Jesus for a few days in Jerusalem, after one confrontation after another with the religious authorities, the Herodians, the Pharisees, and the scribes, who seemed to be aligning themselves as allies against Jesus, trying to trap him, discredit him, and plot his death, even after Jesus notices and points out the widow, whose generosity exceeds the faithfulness of everyone around, the best the disciples can come up with in response to all is to say to Jesus, "Look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings." You see, the disciples in Mark's gospel and the readers of Mark's gospel in the late first century and the 21st century have experienced violence and chaos, confusion and division, poverty and wealth, not only by the rule of Roman law, but also by the hard-heartedness of religious law. For days, Jesus has been building up this tension between him and the world, building up the kingdom of God. And soon, it will get him arrested. And yet, it is these large stones that capture the disciples' attention. We and the disciples, well, we are not all that different. The large stones capture our attention, too. We are experiencing some of these same tensions as the disciples in our communities across the country and the world. Violence in our families, schools and neighborhoods, people in need of food, shelter, and health care, inequality of resources and education, loneliness and isolation. It is in large numbers that our millennials and youth ask of Google, "How do I make friends?" For us, it's not large stones per se, but what about those large skyscrapers, large highways and bridges, large homes, large cars, large vacations, large resumes, large department stores and car dealerships, large screen TVs, larger and larger cell phones, large and extra large French fries and sodas? How many of us have purchased the large pack of 48 rolls of toilet tissue at Costco? Maybe the large stone of our large list of Facebook friends, large number of followers of our Instagram feed, or the large number of times we check our cell phones to see how large the number of likes or shares or emails or texts or news headlines we receive in a day. We are barely able to put our phones down for fear of missing out on the next large thing. There are large and outrageous stones aplenty that distract us, numb us, separate us from what matters most, from what is urgently needed. When Jesus says, "Not one stone will be left here upon another, all will be thrown down," it's easy to imagine a scene of mass destruction with stones tumbling down, crushing each other into rubble. It all feels apocalyptic, a revelation of the end time. But that's not what he means. It is what Jesus is going to do in the most perfect act of sacrificial love that will bring down the stones. Like the widow from last week's gospel lesson, Jesus will give us all he has with no regard to who notices or cares or understands or is grateful or deserving. Jesus dies on the cross. He is raised. And the world will never be the same. The disciples that deserted him are reunited and sent to proclaim the gospel to the world. The criminals who died alongside him are pardoned and invited into the heavenly kingdom. And those that didn't know what they were doing when they participated in his death are forgiven as he hangs on the cross. When we focus our attention to Jesus Christ, we will know we are God's beloved. We'll take in the lengths and depths God goes to prove it. We will recognize the worth and value we hold in God's eyes. God loves all of us and is ready to fill our lives with compassion and sacrificial love for us and between us. Jesus reminds us that the world will remain a messy place after he dies. The cross does not make the world safer. It will take our courage, our faithfulness, and our sacrificial love to change this world as we wait for Jesus Christ to return. This may be the best reason to come to church each week, to gather together, to encourage one another, be aware and honest about our many distractions, and be renewed in the promise that God loves us anyway. Here we can rest. God doesn't give up on us and always comes to us as we are, ready to forgive, ready to save, and ready to love. Amen.